about it. We're going to continue. I thought I was going to conclude the tabernacle message, but I didn't quite get through it. So next week we're going to try to conclude it. This is week 8 of talking about the tabernacle. The year was about 1980. I came across this teaching on the tabernacle, and it just amazed me that the Old Testament has so much of the New Testament in it. In fact, the New Testament is concealed in the Old Testament. And I don't know any greater place than in the tabernacle that we see a perfect picture of the Lord Jesus Christ in every detail, in every aspect of the tabernacle. I've covered just a little bit in the last 8 weeks about what's in the tabernacle. There's more in that, and all of it points to Jesus Christ. Two or three weeks ago, we started talking about that God began where He was in the Holy of Holies, the Ark of the Covenant, and He went out from there describing how He wanted this made. He goes all the way out to the gate. We call this God's grace in action, the walk of grace. Everything that God did, whether it's in the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat, the altar of incense, the menorah, the table of showbread, the laver, the brazen altar, the fence, the tabernacle proper, everything that He did was a picture of His grace. You don't know how much God loves you. His grace is amazing. It's outstanding. And so this is all pictured in the tabernacle. So from God to man is the extension of grace. From man to God is a picture of the walk of faith. See, the Bible says, for by grace are you saved through what? Faith. It is a gift of God, not of yourself. So God's grace is out there, but we have to have a response to that. And that response is to believe and receive and partake of that grace by faith. When I look at what we celebrated here today, what Jesus Christ did on the cross, I have to realize that He did that for me and you. Because we could not save ourselves. There's nothing that we could do to better ourselves. When Adam sinned, he was hopelessly lost. And unless God did something, he had no chance. But thank God for His grace. He did something. And He sent Christ. He sent Christ to redeem man. And so when we see what He did on the cross that's pictured in that brazen altar, that altar of brass or copper, where the sacrifices were made. We talked about 5 Levitical sacrifices that were made. And what He did on that cross and our response to that cross, where we say to Him by faith, all that I am is yours, and all that I have is yours. And we recognize His covenant and His fellowship that comes to us because of the sacrifice of Christ. See, that's where our relationship with God was established. When Adam sinned, he was separated from God. He did not have the intimacy of relationship that he once had. He lost that. He was driven out of the garden. And man did not have the capability of that relationship until Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. And now, as believers, we can have intimacy with God. We can have a relationship with God. And we saw that at the brazen altar. Then we looked at the laver. The laver is the wash basin made out of the mirrors of the women of Egypt. And they brought those. And we see there that the priest had to wash his hands and his feet every day. Anytime he did any kind of approach to God, to serve God, to worship God, whatever it was that he was doing, he had to wash his hands and his feet. Hands represent our service to God. Feet represent our walk with God. I want to begin today, because we're going to transition from the laver, and we're going to go into the holy place. Now, the tabernacle proper was was separated into two rooms, the holy place, which was the larger place, and the Holy of Holies, which was the smaller place. And in the holy place, there was the menorah, or the candlestick, the table of showbread, and also the altar of incense. In the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant and the mercy seat. Psalms. We got scriptures for you today. Psalms 24:3. Who may ascend into the hill of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy presence? Or His holy place, I'm sorry. Into His holy place. We got scriptures, guys? Gotcha. Okay. Let me start again. Who may ascend into the holy hills of the Lord, or who may stand in His holy place? That is a direct reference to the holy place in the tabernacle. And what does it say? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive the blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is Jacob, the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, Selah. The word Selah means stop and pause and think on this. So, what does it say? He who has a clean hands and a pure heart. Where does that happen in the tabernacle? That happens in the outer court. That happens in the outer court. Everything in the outer court is made of brass. Brass speaks of sin and judgment. At the altar, our sin nature is judged. At the laver, our sins are cleansed. Our sins are judged based on what took place at the altar. But every day, the priest had to go here. Now, as New Testament believers, I mean, in the Old Testament, they made daily sacrifices, they made weekly sacrifices, they made yearly sacrifices at that brazen altar. Do we do sacrifices today? No. Why? Because the perfect sacrifice was made when Jesus Christ hung on the cross. He was the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. We have no need of sacrifices anymore. Now, we go back to that altar to remember. The Holy Spirit many times takes us back to that altar to show us things about Christ. But again, it is not a place where sacrifice takes place anymore. What about the laver? The priest would wash his hands and his feet. And it was a daily thing. Do we go to the laver today? Yes. Why? You know, when you come to Christ, you're born again, but you're still goofed up. You think wrong. You act wrong. You talk wrong. You still have hurts and habits and hang-ups. And God loves you like that, but He knows that if He leaves you like that, you will absolutely destroy yourself and the people that you associate with. Because messed up people mess up people. Did you know that? They use people. They abuse people. They don't know how to relate to God. They don't. What are the two great commandments? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. The second one, love your neighbor as yourself. We don't know how to do that. Why? Because we're selfish. We're sinful. We're just that way. We have to learn a new way to live. We constantly have to be dealing with our walk with God, and we have to be constantly dealing with the attitudes of our heart. Now, is this a work of grace or is this a work of works? This too is a work of grace. It's God working in you through what He has given us to cleanse ourselves with. It's not a legalistic thing. Some of you were raised in legalistic churches where, you know, you got a list of rules you got to do. If you do those rules, you're okay. And if you don't do those rules, you're going to hell. No, that's not grace. That's works. This is about grace, okay? Now, God wants the work done, but He wants it to be a work of grace, not of rule keeping. They're real similar. They're real similar because the end result is the same. It's just the motivation. So, we're going to read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of the water by the word. That's a labor reference. What is the work of God doing towards his body? There is a washing of the water of the word. Why? To cleanse her. Not with the blood. The blood has already been applied. But see, still we have all of this stuff that we think and do. You know, when you think wrong, you act wrong. You do wrong. You have habits and you're messed up. You're not glorifying God. So what is it that God wants to do? See, he who begun a good work in you, where did he begin it? At the cross, at the outer altar. What is the labor? He continues to do that work. And that's the washing of the water of the Word. See, I know every one of you are reading your Bibles every day. I know that because I've preached at you. So what happens when you read your Bibles every day? The Holy Spirit does a work in your thinking. He challenges your thinking. He challenges your attitudes. And what is that doing? That's changing the way that you think. Is that you changing your mind? No, that's the work of the Word in your heart. It's a work of grace in your heart that begins to transform the way that you think. You know, there's some things that happen when you get saved. There's some things that just fall off of you and you don't act that way anymore. You don't do those things anymore. But there's still some messed up thinking. Believers are messed up in their thinking. And we have to have that daily washing of the water of the Word. See, 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a," what? A mirror. Is that a labor reference? Is that a Word of God reference? What is the mirror that we look into? It's the Word of God. The same thing that was happening at the labor, the washing of the water of the Word. What are we seeing in the mirror? The glory of God. See, the Word of God tells you who you are in Christ. And when you see the glory of God, see, the Bible tells you that you are the righteousness of God in Christ. That's who you are. That's who you are. That's who you are. And as you behold that in the mirror, the Bible says that you're changed from glory to glory into that image. So the work of the Word of God in the heart of the believer is to transform your thinking, your mind, where you begin to see yourself the way that the Word of God says that you are. You're changed from glory to glory, from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. Now, let's go into the holy place. It's different. It's much different. In the outer court, everything's made out of what? Brass. Brass speaks of sin and judgment. Where was your sin and judgment taking place? In the outer court. Where was your relationship with God established? In the outer court. Where is your fellowship with God established? In the outer court. And it says, who gets to enter into the holy place? He with clean hands and pure heart. See, in the holy place is where you begin to see the beauty of the Lord. You know, people who don't know the Lord, they don't know God, they don't see any benefit in the Lord. There's nothing about Jesus that looks attractive. And there's not much attractive as you look at this tent. The first covering of that tent was badger skin or porpoise skin. It was a very durable covering. It covered the outside of it. It was not beautiful. It did not have appeal to it, but it was very durable. It could withstand the sun. It could withstand the rain. It could withstand the sand and the blowing wind against it. And it protected those who were on the inside. It preserved what was on the inside. And in Isaiah chapter 53, verse 2, For, it says, for he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of dry ground. He has no form or comeliness, and when we see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Just looking at Christ, looking at this, there, it's not a desirable thing from the outside. The beauty comes from the inside. When we get into Christ, that's when we begin to behold his beauty. That's when we begin to experience him in a greater way. So that's what this is talking about. When you compare the outside to the inside, there is no comparison. The unbeliever looking at the things of God from the outside, they don't see anything that's attractive. But once you're in, and once you get to behold the goodness of God and the beauty of God from the inside, it gets more beautiful and more beautiful all the time. Amen? Isn't that true? First service. I'm picking at you. Y'all are laid back today. The next skin, there was four coverings. Now, they started from the inside and laid them on top of each other, but we're going from the outside in. The next covering was a ram skin dyed red. A ram skin refers back to the time of Abraham and Isaac. Remember the story when God spoke to Abraham, says, take your son, offer him on the mountain, Moriah. In fact, that's where the Temple Mount is now. And he says, so he goes up there and he takes him up there, puts him on the altar, rears the knife back to kill him, and God stops him. God provides a ram for the offering. And so this is a picture of God's provision for his people. Dyed red speaks of the sacrificial work of Christ. It's the blood of Jesus Christ, and Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. So that is the second covering. The third covering is goat's hair. It's a goat skin. In the Bible, goats are used as offerings for sin. So goats speak of sin. They speak of our sin. And it's kind of interesting, what is that it covers the goat? It's the ram skin dyed red. What is it that takes away our sin? It's the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Isn't that good? Whew! That's good stuff. So here we see, and then the fourth one is the linen. It's white, which speaks of righteousness. And in fact, it's called fine twine linen. And embroidered in that linen is blue, purple, scarlet. It's woven into that, and they weave cherubims in there. Blue speaks of the heavenly nature of God. Purple speaks of the royalty of Jesus Christ. And then scarlet speaks of his sacrificial work. The cherubim speaks of God's protection for his people, and also to the holiness of God. Cherubim, we see cherubim guarding the way of the tree of life. We see cherubim in the veil of the temple that was between the holy place and the holy of holies that said to those that would approach, keep out. But it's also the cherubim who were the protectors of people. It was an awesome sight. There's beauty on the inside of the holy place. So we see God's provision. On the inside, it was just gorgeous. No brass in here. It's all gold. It's all gold. And so we begin to see beauty. Gold speaks of what? Purity. What gets to go into the holy place? The pure. The pure. I've said this before. Many Christians live in the outer court and never take a journey into the holy place, is because that they will not allow God to deal with their lives. It's a sad thing. It's a sad thing. They never go any further than praying that prayer. That's all they do. They pray the prayer, and the only thing they're trying to do is they don't want to go to hell. Well, listen, God has got more for us than missing hell. He wants us He wants us to experience Him in the fullness. That's the only way that you will ever fulfill your purpose. And that's the only way that you'll ever do it right. You may be talented. You may sing like an angel or play like a professional. But listen, if your attitude is not right, it don't mean anything. It's a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. It gives a death sound. Why? Because your attitude's not right. See, walking with God is mostly about dealing with our thinking, our attitudes. And that is a challenge because our attitudes are challenged. Isn't that true? So here we are in the holy place. And the first thing that we see is the golden lampstand or the menorah. Now this is a gorgeous piece. In fact, we got to see when we went to Israel about 4 years ago, one of the promises that Israel has that they will have another temple. You know how long it's been since Israel's had a temple? Their temple was destroyed. See, Jesus was crucified in about A.D. 30 to 33. And he prophesied about the destruction of the temple. And it happened in A.D. 70. So they have not had a temple since A.D. 70. They got synagogues, but not a temple. And the reason they don't do sacrifices is because they do not have a temple. But they got a promise, and they believe that, again, that on that temple site where there is a mosque right now, that they, again, will be able to build the next temple. And they are, the Temple Institute is building these pieces of furniture that we're talking about. And they have built the menorah. They have built the candlestick, and they had it on display there, and we got to see it when we were in Israel. But this is a talent of gold, a talent of gold. A talent is 90 pounds. Wouldn't you like to have 90 pounds of gold? You know how much 90 pounds of gold is worth right now? About 1.757 million dollars. You'd be a millionaire if you had this. Hey, God's not cheap. God's not cheap. People, you know, a lot of Christians are just cheap. They think everything ought to be cheap. God's not cheap. So this menorah is worth a lot of money. It's made, it's not molded, it's a beaten piece. As Jesus was beaten. This is a beaten piece. And it has a center shaft, like this, and then it has six branches that come up like this, opposite of each other. On the top, there is bowls that they put. This is not wax candles. This is oil. Oil represents the Holy Spirit. And they use wicks. And how they get their wicks is when, after a priest does his duty, his garment is dirty. So they take the garment and they cut it up into strips, and they roll it and they make the wicks that burn in the candlestick. So here we see a picture of the Holy Spirit. And I want to read out of Isaiah chapter 11. It says, "There shall come forth from the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. The Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, and the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord." This is talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus said in John, he says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." That could be a reference right back to the light of Genesis. It could also be a reference back to the light of the candlestick. The only light in the holy place comes from the candlestick. It does not come from any outside source. It's by the candlestick. So this speaks of the Lord Jesus Christ, but it also speaks of the Holy Spirit. Now, we said a while ago, there are seven things right here. The center shaft is the Spirit of the Lord. And notice that it pairs these together. It says that there is the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and might, and the spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. What is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life? What is it that the Holy Spirit wants to give us light? Now, He shows us Christ. He reveals the Word of God to us. But what is it that He gives us? He gives us wisdom and understanding. He gives us counsel. He gives us strength. He gives us knowledge. And He teaches us in the fear of the Lord. This is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life. One of the great things that we need to learn as believers today is fear of the Lord. Now, we're not talking about being scared, you know, like being scared of snakes. I'm scared of snakes. We're not talking about being scared of the Lord. But you know what? If the Lord revealed Himself in His full glory, it would scare us bad. In fact, you know, an angel appears, it scared people. Why? Because it's kind of scary. But we got to realize if God's for us. So the fear of the Lord means to honor and awe and respect the Lord. And that is something right now that His church worldwide really needs to learn about, is to honor and respect and have awe for God. And we could talk about what that means and what that looks like. But that's one thing that we need to grow in, is in the fear of the Lord. That is the work of the Holy Spirit in the believer's life in the holy place. In the holy place. So that's what He does. Now, this menorah is set up so that it projects light only forward. Only forward, not backwards. See, when we get the light of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit shows us something, wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, when He begins to reveal things to us, the fear of the Lord, we have a response to the Holy Spirit. Because it doesn't go, the light doesn't go backwards. It goes forward. What am I going to do with what He has shown me? I know a lot of people that dictate their lives from what's happened behind them. Can I just tell you that at the cross, at the brazen altar, your past was paid for. Your addiction was paid for. Your sins were paid for. Your hurts, habits, and hang-ups were paid for. All was paid for. Don't live in the past. Let's learn to live by the light that the Holy Spirit gives us, because it urges us forward. But see, we have a decision to make when that light comes. It comes in several different ways. See, what we're doing here today is worship. And I just want to say a few things. We design services so that the Holy Spirit can move in our services. We believe that the Holy Spirit is going to show up, whether it's in the music. Let me say something about that. Do you know why they're up here? They're not up here to entertain you. They're not up here to impress you. If they are, they need to sit down. Because their hands are not right. Their hearts are not right. They're up here to lead you into the presence of God. The songs that we sing, we don't just sing any kind of songs. We sing songs that point us towards Jesus Christ, that point us towards who we are in Christ, that point us towards what God is doing in the world. That's the kind of songs we want to sing. We want to give the Holy Spirit something to work with in our experience with God. You know, when we say things like, well, I don't like that kind of music, or I don't like music, you know what we're saying? That it's not about God, it's about what I like and dislike. You know, I've been in all kinds of music, and I'm talking about Christian. I've been in Southern Gospel. Glory to God. I like it too. I'm an old, I cut my teeth on the Happy Goodman family. Woo, glory. God walks the dark hills. Yeah, I cut my teeth on that. I have sensed the Holy Ghost moving in those services. I've been where there's a cappella music. Now, certainly God couldn't move in an a cappella service. But boy, I sat there and cried like a baby as the Spirit of God did something in my heart. And I've been in contemporary. See, it's the Holy Spirit is not hung up on style. It's people that are hung up on style. And if you're hung up on style, then you're not doing the right thing. Now, we all have our preferences. But it's not about our preference. Well, I don't like music. Well, you need to get over it. God invented music. The devil didn't. And music was invented to bring us closer to God. And if I have a problem with music, I need to deal with it. Get over your bad self. I don't like that style. Well, get over that too. And we have people who say, I don't like the music, but I like the Word. Well, both are designed to bring us into the presence of God. Then I hear people, well, I like the music, but I don't like the Word. Well, you need to get over that too. Because it's the Word that God uses. In fact, the Word, if the Word is not in the music, then we need to, or the songs, we need to change the songs. Because it's all about worship and it's all about experiencing God. And this is, I'm only talking about the corporate part. I'm not talking about what you do in the private worship. Because the Holy Spirit wants to be a part of your daily life. See, don't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. We've allowed the Pentecostals just to scare the bejeebers out of us where the Holy Spirit is concerned, because we thought if we get around the Holy Spirit, we're going to act weird. Well, some of you act weird anyway. So, but I mean, the Holy Spirit is not about making people acting weird. Weird people act weird. The Holy Spirit don't make you do anything. And we can't be afraid of the Holy Spirit. There's a work of the Holy Spirit that needs to go on in our lives. And He is bringing light to us, whether it's through the music, through the Word, through your devotions, through whatever it is that He speaks to you. Maybe it's a dream. I don't know what it is, but He's there to reveal Christ to you. And we need to be open to that. But here again, we have to choose when that light comes. Maybe you're reading your Bible. Something jumps out at you. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go forwards or are you going to go backwards? Are you going to ignore it or are you going to obey it? And this is the way that the candlestick is set up, that it only throws light forward. If you go back, you're in the dark. And you're going to remain in the dark until you walk towards the light. Now, God speaks. We trust God to speak in this service. Had somebody tell me this last week. Said, man, you got all over me. I didn't know it. Wasn't me. See, not everything I say is inspired of God. But I know enough about God and about God. I'll say some things that the Holy Spirit uses to show you something. You don't have to be concerned about what I'm saying to you, but what He says to you, what He speaks to you. That's what you're responsible for. If I get on to you for not reading your Bible, that's just me. But if it has a punch to it, that's the Holy Spirit. You better listen to it. You better get in that light. You better walk in that light. So you have to choose when the light comes. Do I walk into it or do I back up? That's what we need to do. There's the candlestick. That's where we got to stop today. We're going to talk about the other two pieces next week and the work of the Holy Spirit and what He does. Because He is our friend. The Holy Spirit is our friend. The Holy Spirit wants to be with you tomorrow as you're driving down your road and you're talking to God, and the Holy Spirit will speak to you if you'll listen. He's got things that He wants to show you. He's got things that He wants to say to you. He's got things He wants to reveal to you. Can we stand together? We're going to worship here. Prayer team, would you come forward? We give opportunity in every service for people to come to Christ. You say, you do that all the time. Well, there may be somebody here that don't know Christ. And if you don't know Christ today, you can find Him. You can come, and these four people will be glad to pray with you to receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. But be above and beyond that, I'm just going to ask you one more time. What did the Holy Spirit say to you today? What light did you get today from the Holy Spirit? And then the second question is, what are you going to do? Are you going to walk into that light, or are you going to step back and ignore it? That's a decision that you need to make. You can make it at your seat. You can have somebody pray with you. We don't make people come forward. If you want to come forward, you can. You don't have to. God can meet you right there. I just want you to meet God today. I just want you to know God today. I just want you to make decisions that propel you towards God and not away from Him. I'm going to pray. When I do, they're going to sing, and you feel free to come or to worship at your seat. Father, thank You. Thank You for the Holy Spirit. Thank You for His ministry. Thank You for what He does, for the light that He shows. Lord, lighten our path today that we may see You more clearly. We love You in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you come?
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God. Of His Spirit, washed in His blood. This is my story. This is my soul. Praising my Savior. My soul praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, perfect delight. Now burst on.
Okay, if everybody can take a seat at this time, I have a couple announcements. And my name is Jim. I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm glad to see everybody here today. That was an awesome word. I know sometimes that kind of preaching, it's hard to comprehend, or it is for me, but later on you're like, wow. So it's really good to hear that. I've got a lot of free stuff today. Anybody like free stuff? Okay, good deal. This Wednesday night, Pastor already told you a little bit about it. We're playing God's Not Dead 2. And this is an opportunity to reach out. It's going to be this Wednesday at 6:30 p.m. And also, we have free popcorn. I don't know about y'all. I was telling everybody in the first service, I took my boys to the movie a couple weeks ago. And it wasn't furry, so that's kind of hard to go there. But anyway, God's Not Dead 2 at 6:30 this Wednesday. Also, I didn't see a sign up in the back, but we're going to be starting the Awanas September the 7th at 6:30 p.m. I believe that's on Wednesday nights. I think last week I spoke on it. I'll briefly speak on it. Please, please, get your children involved. Even if you're a grandma or an aunt or uncle, you have nieces, nephews, grandkids, invite them. I mean, my boys, it is not me. It's a pure blessing from God. They know that Bible. They know that word. And they set me straight a lot of times. And it's because the program's here. And it's all free. And it's a good way for to get it, like the pastor said, in your heart. Also, we're having an active shooting training class. It's going to be... let's see, the 15th, which is on a Monday at 6 p.m. We'll let you know more on that. That's just for safety and things. We're going to have a training on that, and that will be the 15th of this month. Also, this Saturday, we're going to have a men's breakfast and Bible study at 7:30 a.m. It will be free, 7:30 a.m. Men, and I'm pointing to myself, we need to get involved. This country, I love the America, but men need to step up to the plate. Even if you mess up, hey, I've messed up. You got to fess up. And come on, we need to get strong in this country again. Speaking of free, I was in the first service. I do a lot of illustrations in my head. I don't know if it's good or bad. But any of you take advantage of the free tax day yesterday? Go shopping for your kids, free taxing, one or two? I went yesterday and I seen bukus of people, you know, taking advantage of free, free, free. But you know what? Sometimes I'm slow about thinking Jesus paid a price and it's free to us. And we need to remember that as we go through the week, that He paid the price regardless of what I have done. So I want everybody to stand at this time. I'm going to pray for strength and wisdom, because Philippians 4:13 says that all things are possible through Christ who gives us that strength. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You for this congregation. I thank You for this church, our pastor, our praise and worship team, Lord. I thank You that we're a team and we're a family, Lord. I thank You for what You've given us, and I know we're not complete until the day of Christ comes back, Lord. I give You all the praise. I give You all the glory in Jesus' precious name, and everybody says, amen. You're dismissed. 2, 3.